Hello, everyone. I'm Chen Yu. I'm an assistant professor at Indiana University. So in my talk, I will present our work on Weyli data mining multimedia data. Before I proceed, I'd like to commit that information visualization is not my primary research field. So I'd like to share with you is the story about why I decided to work on this project a year ago, and why I found this project is really interesting. And even with this prototype system, it has been proved to be very useful in our research, and why some of my colleagues in my field, which is cognitive science, are interested in using this visualization tool. So with advances in computing and sensing techniques, multimedia data everywhere, in many laboratories, people are able to collect a large amount of high-resolution, high-quality multimedia data, such as video data, audio data, EEG data, fMRI data, and so on. And another example is, everyday example is that there are surveillance cameras everywhere. So now we have this capability to collect a huge amount of data. What's next? So how to automatically and effectively discover new patterns and new knowledge from multimedia data poses a compelling challenge. So I want to use one of the studies in my lab as a case study. So in this study, we have a pair of participants interact with each other, and we are interested in fine-grained measures of their behavior, such as what they are visually attended to moment by moment, what actions they generated, how they react to the action generated by the other person, and how they adjust their behavior dynamically. To answer those kind of questions, what we did is we have this multi-sensory setup in which that we put multiple sensors on those participants, including several cameras, and audio sensor, motion tracking sensor that keep track of their body movement. So each sensor provides the six-dimensional data, X, Y, Z, plus the HPR, the rotation in three axis, and the eye tracking data that keep track of their visual attention. So this is an example of the setup we are using in one participant. So you can see that we have the eye tracker that can track their visual attention in real time. We have a camera, and we have several other cameras in the environment. We have microphone, and we have precision sensors attached to the head and hand of participants. So the standard way to analyze this data is like this. Given this multimedia data, image sequences, video and audio and so on, so we first need to get some derived data, some measures from those sequences so that we can form temporal sequences. Then we are looking for interesting patterns from those temporal sequences. So this is an example of the first step from multimedia data to derived data. So given image frames, we have developed some image processing techniques so that we can reliably detect the object and object one, object two, and object three, or faces or hands from those sequences so that we can extract a set of derived variables such as the location of object can form one temporal sequences, size of object can form another temporal sequences, and so on. So the problem here is that the multimedia data contains various kind of information. For instance, if we have N cameras in this environment and we are interested in M identities, object, or people. For each identity that we can extract different kind of properties, such as the location of the person, the size of the person in the view, and so on. Then we combinatorially, we have this problem that we will have a huge set of temporal sequences. And another example is the speech data, which seems to be straightforward. It's just one-dimensional speech signals. But still, in addition to linguistic information in speech, we can also infer many other information from speech, such as a speaker's gender, speaker's age, and the speaker's emotional state, moment by moment, such as arousal and valence level, and so on. So that illustrates the point that we have this chicken and egg problem. That is, in order to discover new knowledge from multisensory data, so we may not know in advance what derived data are more relevant. However, to get useful patterns, we have to calculate some derived data to start with. So that's the first challenge we face with. So in the second step, so what we want to do is from derived data, we want to find interesting patterns. The good news here is that there are many data mining, machine learning techniques available to deal with temporal sequences, such as hidden Markov models and dynamic time warping and so on. However, one limitation of those techniques is that those algorithms can reliably search and discover predetermined pattern. And those patterns need to be statistically reliable because all these algorithms are based on statistical analysis. But sometimes the exploratory nature of discovering new knowledge requires us to detect sometimes uncommon but interesting patterns. So how we address this problem? So here is a more concrete example of the kind of problem we are dealing with. So we have speech data, and we have a different kind of derived variables from vision, from multiple cameras, and we have motion tracking data. Now our challenge is that we want to find interesting patterns from this data set. So I have been working on this kind of data for a couple of years with a certain success. So the more I work on this kind of data, the more I feel that I need to find a tool that I can visually access data, that I can explore data in different ways and at different levels. And then a year ago, I started looking at some papers in information visualization, and then I found one method is very compelling, that is the idea of visual data mining. And so our work is motivated by this idea. We basically apply this idea of visual data mining that Ben Steinman has done this precision paper in 2002. We apply this idea in multimedia data set. So the idea is that if we have a way to visualize multimedia data, we have a way to visualize derived time series, and we have a way to visualize those patterns, then to deal with two puzzles I mentioned earlier, then we can actually close the loop. That is, we can use a visualization tool to bootstrap this process, so we will know what derived variables may be more useful and what might be more interesting patterns. So to summarize this idea, so basically in data mining, statistics and measures extract from raw data may exclude some interesting patterns embedded in the data, or it might be misleading. So we need a mechanism that we can directly access fine-grained data. And visualization techniques present a way that provide ways that we can, as a researcher, that we can look at the data and explore the data in different way, so that we can detect new patterns, we can gain new insight, and we can generate new hypotheses, which will lead to new discovery. And we also suggest that data mining and visualization can bootstrap each other in a more interactive mode, in the sense that the more informative way to visualize the result will lead to new finding, and then if we can visualize the new finding, that we will get more insight to go to the next round of data analysis. So the first part of the visualization program we develop is to access raw data, which is very straightforward. So we just built this like a digital multimedia playback program. So I want to show you. And here we visualize both the raw data we have, and we also visualize the result of the image processing. As a way, actually, we can also check the performance of image processing. Okay, then for derived data, so we categorize the information in multimedia data set into two kinds. One is the continual variables. Those are the variables that are related to time points, a series of single measurement at any particular moment in time. For instance, if we are interested in the location of object or location of person in the video, that will form a time continual variable. And the other type is an event variable. Those are variables related to time interval. For instance, if we are interested in a specific event in the video, such as whether a person is speaking or not, whether a person is entering a room or not. So then we will have an on-site and off-site for each event. The overall layout of our program is based on the idea of time searcher. So basically, we have this overview window that we can use one derived variable as a reference. Then we have this zoom-in box that allows us to zoom in and zoom out. Let me switch back to the program here. So this is our program. So basically, this is the reference variable, and if we just manipulate this, then we can get the local zoom-in view of the specific variable we are interested in. And meanwhile, we can have multiple variables that we can examine all of them at the same time, which is hard to demonstrate in this setup. And the only additional feature we add in this is we have this histogram display. So this includes both a local histogram and a global histogram. Basically, if I change the moving window, sliding window here, that will change the local histogram. So we can directly compare whether the local distribution of the data is in line with the global distribution or not. And then we have another representation of continual variable that is a gray level representation. And what I show you here is just if we just simply put all these measures we got from the multimedia data together, then clearly we can see some interesting patterns here. For instance, it seems these two variables are correlated somehow, and these two are not correlated. And also we can see that something might be happening here. So from my perspective, I feel this is the power of visualization, because if you want to extract, even if you want to extract some simple patterns like that using some data mining algorithms, you have to tune up some parameters to get this result to allow some temporal shifting and so on. But with visualization, it's just very clear what are the potential patterns here as a first step. Then you can just go further to quantify those observations using more quantitative data mining algorithms. And then we have another way to visualize a continual variable. It's just an area graph in which we can add or subtract variable to generate this graph. So for the other kind of variable, event variable, so what we are interested in the multimedia data, like for single events, we are interested in the frequency of the event, the duration of the events, and the gap between those events, and so on, and how frequently that happened. So if we go back to this program here, so for event variable, so basically this is a list of event variable. As a user, you can just simply select the event you are interested in, and then you can just visually explore what are the patterns or regularities of that event, and you can add more events so that you will get the possible correlation with these two events, and you can add more events just like that. Go back to here. And then actually, since we use different colors for different events, we can also really get some idea of the joint event, that is, or conditional events. So joint event is a part that these two events share this time interval, and the conditional event can be visualized as a proportion of the joint event divided by the overall proportion of the other interval. And also we will get some idea of the causality and the prediction, which event may predict another event, and so on. And then we also allow user to create a new event. For instance, if you found two events, A and B always co-occur together, and you can group these two into a new event, you can call it A and B. And in this way, that user can have and all these logical operations and all not also with a set up priority. So in this way, even we just have a limited set of colors that combinatorially we can generate, we can study a potentially more complex pattern in the data. And the other feature in our program is that we can concurrently, what one measure we are interested in is we are interested in potential complex patterns in continual variable conditioned on event variable. So to visualize that, so what we did is we can overlap the continual events on top of the, overlap the event on top of the continual events. So in this, in this program here, basically, we provide the list of two events, continual events and continual variable and the event variable. And as a user, you can just select the one you are interested in, and then you can visually explore the data set to get some ideas what event you are interested in most and what are interesting patterns you may want to extract. And based on those insights, then you can go back to the data processing part to implement your program to quantify your insights. And the other thing we add in this program is a event-based interactive visual exploration. So what we have here is that if you are interested in a particular event, then we can list those events which will be displayed here, and you can just go page by page to examine this event. I will just show you how it works. So basically, let's say I'm interested in this speaking event. Then what I have here is I can just go through this event, and then meanwhile I can select multiple continual variables. Then I can visually examine what are potential underlying patterns event page by page. So in this way, we may easily detect some reliable patterns for that. And meanwhile, actually, we can also get information about the possible correlation with some other, for this key event with some other event. And one can zoom in and zoom out to closely examine some event. And then one thing we find in our data processing is for different instances of the same event, actually they might have different categories. Then we provide this function. Basically, when you examine the individual instances of the same event, actually you can define the category information. For instance, here, so we find for the same event, different instances, these two instances share the same pattern, underlying pattern, while those instances share some other pattern. So basically what we allow user to do is to go to here. When you visually explore the event, you can define whether this is a category one, category two, whatever pattern you are interested in. And after that, we can visualize this result back here, so in which that we will form different groups for each type of the instances we have. Okay. And then let me go back to the original two problems I mentioned earlier. So one is from multimedia data to derived data. As I mentioned earlier, for derived, we can only extract a subset of information from the derived, from the raw data into the derived data. So then it's very important that in this program we have a way to access the multimedia data while we are working on derived data. So what we did is we synchronized the multimedia play panel with the visual exploration panel so that if we find we want to add additional variables from the raw multimedia data, we can do that. So basically what is happening here is if I click synchronize, then if I move along this here, this is synchronized with a multimedia playback. That means if I find some interesting pattern here, then even I don't know what that means, then I can go back to the multimedia player to see exactly what was happening at that moment. And we provide the same functionality for the event-driven approach. So this is a, let's say that if I want to, I'm interested in this event, I just go instance by instance to explore this event. And if I want to synchronize this with a media player, then what is happening is when I do this, then it will go to the next event. Then I can just play back the whole video based on the event, event by event, page by page. Then visually, if there are some interesting patterns underlying this event, then I might be easily detect that. So the other part is how to connect that visual exploration and the data mining. So from one perspective, we believe that these two needs to be closely coupled. But in our implementation, what we did is we provide a flexible interface. So the visualization program basically can keep track of the workspace that the user is working on. And then user can use whatever programming language they prefer to derive new variables, to extract new patterns, and then as far as they save the data in certain form in the workspace, then the visualization program will automatically load new patterns in the data. So in this way that, for instance, I'm also the user of this program. What I did is I have a data processing program I'm using, and meanwhile I have the visualization program, and then I just work on this working space. Then it will automatically update the new patterns I extract from the data processing file, whether I use a C program or use MATLAB and so on. So to summarize this talk, so basically we decompose and represent multimedia data into continual variable and event variable, and we allow user to examine both raw data and derived data, and we develop various ways to visualize and explore correlation between raw data and derived data, and between continual variable and event variable. And we allow visualization and data mining to bootstrap each other so that the user can easily examine the information to form new ideas, then test and quantify this new idea by implementing that in the data mining part, which can be then be visualized again. So these two things can bootstrap each other. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm looking forward to hearing insightful feedbacks or comments about this work.
Question? Well, I'll do one. When we look at the relation between time series, we generally use a cross-correlogram, which allows us to look at, of course, we can't infer causation, but we can rule it out in some circumstances. And that, what the correlogram does is it correlates a series with another series that's been shifted back by one tick in time, 2, 3, 4, and so on. It shows all those correlations. And it also shows them relative to it being shifted forward in time. Because if we want to say, for example, that changing the speed limit to 55 lowered the number of accidents, we want to see a change after the speed limit was changed. If it turns out that the accidents went down before the speed limits were changed, we'd be looking at some other type of relationship. So I would suggest you might want to look at visual ways to offset the series and be able to detect these patterns after they've been offset in both directions. See how that works?
Yes, that is a very interesting idea. Actually, recently we applied some information theory-based measure on our data set. One thing we apply is called transfer entropy. That's a way to measure what information is transferred from one time theory to the other time theory. And when we did that, we did shift the time to see, because that will cause the get really good insight about exactly what is happening, whether one can predict the other.
Right. So, yeah. It's very useful. Statisticians call this, and economists call it, intervention analysis, and then the other is cross-correlogram. So I think it would be really fruitful to combine these methods in your visualizations. Are there other questions about this combining images and analytics?
Did you look at using like a line graph instead of or in addition to having the different grayscale?
Yes, we did have the line graph representation here, that in which you can just select multiple lines. I mean, it's exactly the same as a gray level representation, but we just use line graph. And then you can still overlap the event on top of that so that you can visually explore, under that event, what was happening with those continuous variables.
We have time for another question before we start the next talk. Bernice?
Hi, Bernice Rogowitz from IBM Research. So I like the idea in your methodology that your video stream has extracted from it different kinds of metadata, and then you can selectively search based on that. Yet when I looked at the video streams themselves, they were sort of like gray blobs. I was wondering if you might have a visual way of sort of, you know, encoding into that sort of blob stream a little information about what the kind of information was that is being viewed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think that is a really good idea. Yeah. Thank you.
Any others? Okay. Thank you very much.